Welcome again to Central Presbyterian Church here for our Christmas Eve service and our Christmas pageant. Thank you to all the children, to Karen Brown and the ministry team that helped us worship and center ourselves on Jesus this Christmas season. I'm Pastor Ben. I'm the pastor of evangelism and community here, and we are so glad that you're here to worship with us. And we would love to see again more and more of the church coming together to worship Christ. And as we look forward to a new year here, that Christ will continue to use his church to do his work to impact this world. During this Advent season, we have been going over a series on the songs in the Key of Hope. And one important message as we explore the songs in the Gospels that point us to Jesus and the hope we find in him. This is truly important, as there are so many challenges and hardships that we are all experiencing right now. And it feels like we are truly living in dark times. Christmas is about hope, about recognizing that even the dark, deepest darkness is no longer impenetrable because the light has come. Read with me here in Scripture. John 1, 9 through 10 and 8, 12. The true light which gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When the light comes, the darkness is defeated. In fact, the only power dark has in the space is granted to it by the absence of light. When the light comes, the darkness retreats. We can see things as they actually are. Winter has come upon us here, and we find that we had just had the shortest day of the year. I was reflecting on this and understanding that the difficulty of winter becomes part of our tapestry of hope. Christ comes to meet us, not in the form of God, but as one of us. Jesus comes not as a king in a palace, nor even in the main religious center of Jerusalem, but born as a baby in a manger, poor, humble, fragile. John 1, again, 9 through 10, the true light which gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. For us then, preparing to meet Christ this Christmas, he comes to us in the depths of winter, a light that shines amidst the darkness, a beacon of hope of our salvation, a light to lighten the darkness in which we live, a world that continues to be battling against COVID, a world that continues to feel isolated, alone from each other, a world that feels so polarized and combative, a world that feels that things will never again be normal. The very important thing about hope is that it points to beyond the present. Hope does not pretend that everything is okay and that we don't have any concerns or worries. Hope points us to the future, a better future, something we strive for as we know it will change our current present pain and struggle. And yet hope completely changes our relationship with the struggle we are currently facing right now. A person with hope can endure almost infinitely more than a person without it. I have seen this numerous times before when we sit next to someone that is battling against cancer but knows Christ in his presence. Something's happened and they discover this hope. Something in them has been transformed because they know Christ and his peace and his presence. This peace in the midst of this battle and the hope they are trusting in Christ leads them to know God in a deeper and deeper way. Or whenever we face someone that is facing the unknown future and their life has been turned upside down, it is such a difficult place to be. But finding God's presence in the midst of these trials, hope and trust lead them into the future. That is why Christmas is so special for us. As we need to remember the true meaning and the reason for Christmas, it is Christ who is coming into the world which changed the world forever. It is a promise that the future will be better than this, that the same Jesus who came will come again. The promise of Christmas is still working itself out in each of our hearts as the light that shines in the darkness has come. The darkness is pushed aside, but the work is not over yet. It has begun, but not finished. Darkness itself has no power to extinguish even the faintest of light. Light can only be ineffective if we cover it or if the light runs out from its source. Fortunate for us, the source of our light is Christ, and it will never run out. And as we can be unashamed of the God that loves us, we can be sure not to hide our light. And the faintest of lights can be fanned into a roaring fire. We can spread that light by embracing it and joining together with other image bearers of God to be the lights of the world as we follow the light of the world, Jesus. John 8:12 again says, and again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, the true light that has come to bring joy, hope, love to this world. We must turn our eyes and our hearts to Jesus so that our light can shine and be the hope for lives that are all around us. Here we have the opportunity to remember that this light shines in darkness. As we have our Advent candles, as we have lights that remind us of the light that we carry, remember Jesus and the light we need for our own lives and the lives we need to share with others. And also remember that you're not alone. For all the children, I hope you were able to pick up a little tea candle that I had on both the tables outside our sanctuary doors. And for all the adults, if you would just pull out your cell phone real quick, and we're going to turn off the sanctuary lights here and just illustrate what it's going to look like for us to be that light, a beacon of light, transforming and knowing that we can be that light together as God's people. We are that light that's going to shine for people to know who God is. Think about this world that's living in darkness, and they need to see this light. They need to see this hope. Look at our children ready to lead us in showing this world that there are those that can spread the light and joy to this world. So remember, we carry this light with us. Kids, bring this home. Lead our families to make sure that we're sharing Christ with our neighbors, our families, our neighborhood, our community, and to the ends of the earth. Let's turn the lights back on. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So let your light shine before others. First, we are the light of the world. First, we need to know the light. We need to experience and know the light that has come into this world. Spend time with the true light. One thing hopefully this pandemic has taught us is to cherish the important things and to slow down. Take time, breathe, hear from God, listen to what He has to say to each of our hearts. Second, we are light that cannot be under a basket. There are too many things that are hiding our light. Anger, hurt, frustration, sadness, busyness, isolation, fear of rejection are all reasons why we have put our light under a basket. As God's people and children, we have many times been unable to truly be the city on the hill that God wants us to be. He wants us to shine the light that He has in store for us so that people will come and know Him. But we are not humble, and we haven't truly pointed ourselves to the true source that brings love, kindness, and light to the world that desperately needs it. So seek God this Christmas and ask Him to fill you with experiencing the true light and the ability to reflect His loving kindness to the world around us. Lastly, let your light shine. One of the amazing things that I share with people is that God is on the move. I know there are many hard stories and difficult situations, but one thing I know, God constantly shows us and reminds us that there are incredible things that He's doing, and we just need to open our eyes and our hearts to know that He is moving with the Holy Spirit. He's transforming lives. He's changing people with the gospel. Lives are being drawn to God in the midst of trial and hardship. I'm blown away by the missionary partners and the stories of faith we continue to hear locally, nationally, and globally. This month, we hosted the Refugee Collaborative in St. Louis. faith-based groups here in St. Louis get together each month to pray and plan strategically how we're going to reach refugees here in St. Louis. And as we hosted it here at Central, you heard story after story of what God's doing in the Bosnian community, where Christians are actually coming about in the Bosnian community here in St. Louis. The Nepalese, the Congolese, the Syrians, they're coming to know Christ. The Iranian church that's meeting here in West County is growing and meeting people, helping them meet Jesus. And lastly, we're getting connected with Afghans that are coming to St. Louis. They're recognizing that there are pockets here in St. Louis that they're being warmly welcomed. And they're recognizing it's mostly from Christians. And friendly, warm greetings is making a way for the gospel. May God continue to shine his light, and we continue to be that light that continues to emanate his glory. As I was reflecting on all of this, God wanted me to end with this last story. It comes from Aesop and Aesop's fables about a lion and four bulls. He wrote this story. He said, "Once upon a time, there were four bulls who were great friends. They always kept close to each other so that if any danger was near, they faced it together. They grazed together, they moved together, and they lay down to rest together. A lion who lived nearby was determined to eat one of the bulls, but he could never find one alone. He would be able to kill them one at a time, but he was no match for all four of them all at once. The lion did not give up easily. He followed the bulls, watched them carefully, and when he saw one lagging behind, the least one, he would sneak up behind and whisper to him that the other bulls are saying unkind things about you. This he did to each bull until all four finally found uneasy to be one around each other. Each one of them thought the other three bulls were plotting against him. Finally, there was no trust at all among them, and each bull went its separate way. Of course, that's exactly what the lion wanted. One by one, he killed them, and they made four good meals." God actually calls Satan a lion, ready to pounce. So it's only fitting that a lion in this story as well bring deceit, bring lies, bring about disunity. We must work together and pray against the evil one. God wants us to be united and work together for his purposes. But Satan continues to lie and continues to bring disunity amongst us that will bring Satan to allow it to easily devour us. I believe Satan has been having a field day lately with God's children in church, telling the church that you can't trust each other. There are too many issues, topics, situations, circumstances to cause small divisions that cause big cracks in the community. It happens in all parts of church, amongst all ages, between all ages, amongst all backgrounds, between all backgrounds, amongst leaders and congregants, between leaders and congregants. But we must find hope. We must find Jesus in the true light. We must tell Satan to get behind us and tell that liar to step aside, because the true light has come. And when we gather in his name, I've seen it, lives can shine brightly for the Lord. Don't give up on meeting. Don't let gossip come in. Don't let bickering or momentary, temporary troubles cause conflicts among us that no longer we can find strength together as God's people. But may we draw together in God's love and purpose to love each other, protect each other, encourage each other, and shine brightly for his glory. Let's pray that we be God's light and shine the true light that the world truly needs. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for drawing us here together to worship you, the true light that has come into this world. As you came so many years before, we are looking forward to when you will come again. But until that time, empower us with the Holy Spirit that together as your church, we will not give up meeting with each other. We will not give up encouraging each other to spread your light to a world that desperately needs it. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.